This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Online at WTK.com. The MCO Blog Roundtable is brought to you by Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest.
And joining us here on the MCO Blog Roundtable, as they do every single week, but we are down a man, we got Craig Ross here in studio. Craig, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm missing Brian, I hope he gets better. He's got a bad cold, apparently. But, you know, when I think of Brian, the first thing that comes into my head is the opening passage of Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail by Hunter S. Thompson. And the first line is, "When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro." And that's Brian Cook. And but beyond, and just to show that, 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting at a hockey game, and I'm sitting away from Brian. I look, he's on the sort of other, and he's in better seats. He's in the rich seats. He can afford a Mercedes. He's on the nice part. I'm in the cheap seats of the place. And he's not there. I said, he'd be at this hockey game. And but then I see a giant person in a white tuxedo, and it's Brian Cook. He's wearing a white tuxedo to a hockey game. And I thought it was a polar bear. I looked over there. I thought it was a polar bear.
So is this real? He really wore a white
tuxedo?
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal is. So get better, Brian. I love you, but man, you're weird.
Ed Fang from the Power Rank. How you doing this morning, Ed?
Oh, I'm pretty good after that Michigan basketball game last night.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like we've kind of talked about Rutgers enough this week. You guys have anything to add about the Rutgers football game? Anything that you want to get off your chest before we get into Michigan basketball?
I thought Shea had a couple deep shots that he missed or probably shouldn't have thrown, but at the end of the day, he still threw for over 8 yards an attempt. Very efficient and complete about 2/3 of his passes. I mean, whatever, it's Rutgers.
They said that the weather was a factor.
Yeah, you could see that on the kickoffs a little bit.
Yeah, I've been thinking basketball like you, Sam, but I thought Patterson maybe had his best game, at least in the throwing element, and they weren't going to let him pull the ball. There was no pulls in the game.
Right.
And so this was a major advantage for Rutgers, because I'm sure they figured this out 10 seconds in. And so it made the Michigan running game a little harder. But so I looked at Pro Football Focus, and graded him at 94.5, which I think might be about the highest grade any quarterback has had all year.
Really?
He was certainly the highest grade this week.
That's interesting.
And I don't think I've seen a higher grade all year. So they were impressed. It was a sort of blustery day, so throwing it well was a big deal. I think maybe he had one or two bad throws. He had one touchdown that hit Oliver Martin in the head that bounced away. But that was a hard play for Martin. I don't want to minimize that the ball was probably moving around on him.
He would tell you he should have caught it.
Maybe. For sure he should have caught it. Come on, man. That's why you're getting a scholarship.
You know, I thought Rashawn Gary came out, played very well. You weren't going to get sacks against this team because all they're doing is throwing screens and dumb stuff, but he played well. Winovich had a tough game. Bush was off the charts good. Winovich had a tough game on that 180-yard run. That was, I think, a combination mistake by Winovich and Gill primarily. Gill, I don't know where he's going on that play. He's out of his gap. And Winovich over-penetrated, the field just opens up like the Red Sea.
And we talked about them getting caught and tied. The description of it yesterday with Don Brown, he said, you know, it was the motion. And they motioned that guy out, brought him back in, kind of, you know, the guy.
Yeah, I think it's called zipper motion or something like that.
And there was an adjustment to the initial motion, but, when they brought him back, kind of, they got caught inside on the play. He said, you know, it was a he gave credit to the coaching staff. Yeah. He said, you know, they gamed us on that one.
Yeah.
They got one. He said, you want that play stopped at about 10, 12 yards. He said that they were going to get that play based on how they set it up. You just don't want to go for a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, stop it at 10, 12 yards. They weren't able to do it. So yeah. Tip your cap to them and tip your cap to that back.
Well, and on the defensive side of the ball, like, I mean, Rutgers comes out and they're clearly no match for the Michigan defense. And my first thought was like, well, they should just throw screens all game because at least the pressure can't.
Yeah.
At least they'll slow down the pressure. But that did not work at all.
Yeah, they
Michigan
had
snuffed
one,
out every single one well, after the first one in right, the first or second one, right. drive or whatnot.
Yeah.
And that just shows you just how physically dominating this defense is and how intelligent they are that, like, you can still get pressure. You can snuff out every screen. Devin Bush is just a monster out there.
Yeah, I know that what's the guy who does the draft? Kuiper.
Mel Kuiper.
Kuiper. 20 guys do the draft?
Yeah, well, he's the...
Todd. No, but Kuiper had all the player evaluations, which I thought was super interesting, too, because Bush was the first.
Bush was, like, number 6 in the first round, or I think...
Right.
And I think Gary was number 8 in the first round.
And
so we're probably not seeing those guys again.
No, but what I thought was interesting is that David Long and LeVert Hill were 7 and 8 in the cornerbacks.
Right.
Which means that they may come back next year if they don't go up. I mean,
yeah,
I think they're a lot better than that, seeing these guys play and just how dominant this defense has been. But if they're only going to be third-round picks and those guys come back next year, I mean, that defense is going to be scary.
Yeah, the defense again. Could
like
still...
Like, even scarier than you expect a Don Brown defense.
I mean, I think Ambry Thomas is going to be a good corner. I don't know what happens next year at the corner if both Long and Hill go, and I think may.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that would hurt if they're gone, but if they come back,
yeah.
I mean, that's scary for opponents. I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, right, one other thing about football, if I could, is as I've mentioned on this show before, I track my net yards per pass attempt as a measure of how good a team is. And when a team gets to about 4, they're a national champion, plus 4 in the look, comparing offensive net yards per pass attempt versus defensive net yards per pass attempt. At about 4, you're looking at a potential national championship team. Michigan got up to exactly 4.00 this year. They are a top 4 team. There's, you know, in my mind, there's no question about it. You know, this week may be a little bit of a challenge because Indiana's going to know what Rutgers knows, which is the ball ain't getting pulled. On the run plays, but still, you know, this is a game we should, I don't know what your numbers show, but I've got us at about 28, 25.
Something yeah, 25, there. 28.
Yeah.
I mean, so. the only thing that, I mean, clearly this is like a classic look ahead game with just such
a
big game
problem.
Next week. I mean, the only thing that could happen to this team is that they're unfocused, and then there's a -7 turnover differential in this game. That's kind of the only thing you worry about.
It almost happened in 2006. We beat Ball State 42-37. And the week why we're playing Ball State, that I don't remember why, but it was a game before Ohio State, and Ball State had a pretty decent team, but still it was Ball State, and we struggled. We almost lost that game at the end of the game before Ohio State that year.
All right, guys. You know, and again, this will be. We got to spend time talking basketball this morning. So let's just gloss over or touch on at least a little bit Indiana, the matchup this week, 4 o'clock. You know, at the Big House, a team that at times over the past, you know, the past decade or so, has really given Michigan. Really giving Michigan games, giving them fits. You know, last year they pushed Michigan to the limit. But you know, I just unless Michigan gets completely and totally out of character and starts overlooking opponents all of a sudden, I just don't think that this Indiana team. I mean, you think about it, they have been having issues pushing the ball down the football field all year long. Until last week against Maryland, and they're like singing hallelujah down there that they threw the ball up, you know, greater than 15 yards. You know, you aren't going to beat Michigan without trying to get down, being able to attack down the football. This team just I don't think has the quarterback play necessary to challenge Michigan in ways that they were challenged. In past years, even last year when You had Peyton Ramsey in there, but I think you had a defense that gave up more big plays than this one. If I'm not mistaken, that was coming off the Penn State game last year, wasn't it? When they played?
No, I think it was before the Penn State game.
So.
Yeah.
I think it felt like it was coming off a loss. I have to go back and look at the schedule. But, you know, this was one of those games where he made a few plays. You had Simi Cobbs out there where Michigan did a really good job of bottling him up. But Ramsey was able to make some plays this year. He just doesn't seem like the same sort of, threat that he presented last year. A lot more conservative with the football he seems to be this year.
Well, I think their passing game is probably a little better than Rutgers. I mean, that's about all I can say. Maybe they can throw it 6 yards versus four. I don't know. But the thing about Indiana is they're terrible on defense. They don't get pressure.
Which is different for them. They have been improving
pretty good, but not this year.
So it was after the Michigan State loss. Indiana was after the Michigan State loss last year. So Michigan was coming off of that disappointment, and Penn State was the next week. Yeah. So back to your point, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're a little bit better than Rutgers. That's about all I can say. I don't think their offense is particularly good. I think their defense is terrible. The only way this game isn't a pretty comfortable win for Michigan is if we start turning it over, if we're completely unfocused. I don't think that Michigan's going to come into this game unfocused. I think
they take off after the head coach. And this is a guy that was able to focus those last couple games as a 49ers coach where all the attention is elsewhere, and he finished out the season there with focus.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a game Michigan should win, pull or no pull. I suspect no pull.
No pull.
And
no pull.
Yeah, unless they get
desperate. I mean, you pull if you need that as a deception to get the run game. But if you can just pound the ball...
Yeah.
With these big boys. Oh, and wasn't Bredesen like the number two guard in Kuiper's list or something?
Yeah, he was. I was a little surprised by that.
I was a little surprised too, but...
Kuiper had Bredesen as the number two guard. I don't think Ben is probably going to come out because the NFL doesn't really value guards
like
they do offensive tackles, which seems to be the name of the game in the NFL. But... one never knows, but yeah.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you do get a couple of guards that go in the first round. Billy Price went last year, and then I think the Lions drafted an interior lineman too last year.
Ragnow was a first round pick, I think. So,
all right, guys, I think that's enough.
That's enough football.
That's enough football.
Save that for
talk.
Next week. Yeah.
So let's get to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to dig into what I think was. An amazing showing last night. And while it is a November game, this November victory on the road against a top 10 team, I think you can take more away from it because of how it was achieved. This wasn't a hot shooting game. And I think you guys agree, you know, shooting can be fleeting. I'm sure you numbers guys can speak to that. Defense travels. Defense is something that is easier to carry over, something that translates more. And it was a phenomenal defensive effort last night from the Michigan Wolverines. We'll get into that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider as we get to a break, folks. Those Revenge Tour t-shirts, those Revenge Tour hats, those Revenge Tour sweatshirts. You know where you can get them? I know Miz knows.
Oh, yeah. MDen, baby.
That is right. Over at the MDen, the Superstore, 303 South State Street, the newly expanded MDen at Briarwood Mall. Of course, online at MDen.com, the MDen and the Victors Collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. Back with more MGO Blog Roundtable on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The ticket.
Thank you, Ira. Let's get back to the MGlobeBlog Roundtable. It's brought to you by our friends at Homesure Lending. At Homesure Lending, you get to work. It's a local company, and you get to work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. You know, a tremendous, tremendous showing by the Michigan basketball team last night on the road. Taking on the number 8 team in the country, Villanova, defending national champs. Now, both teams look different, right? Both teams lost you know, significant talent to the pros. But a lot of respect for what Villanova brought back, including an all Big East first team preseason pick in Eric Pascal, who put up some big numbers in tournament games and a few tournament games last year. And we saw a phenomenal defensive effort by Michigan guys. And we have Ed Fang and Craig Ross here in studio. It had been my take that Michigan's defense, as good as it was last year, as far as it carried them last year, would be even better this season with John Teske in the starting lineup, with another year under Luke Yaklich's tutelage, with a full year of Xavier Simpson at the helm. I mean, there are a lot of factors that contributed to my belief that we would see a superior defensive team this year, one superior to last year. I did not anticipate what we saw from Ignas Brasdeikis last night, guys. I thought in a game where Michigan played tremendous team defense, I thought that Ignas Brasdeikis was the best player on the floor on both ends.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to your pay-on to Brasdeikis earlier, and it was right on the money. He played just phenomenal defense against a really good offensive player. That certainly was one of the primary elements, keys to winning that game. But you can't overlook what Charles Matthews did to Booth, who's a good player. I mean, he completely shut Booth down, completely frustrated him. And then to me, the big key, I mean, playing against X is like playing against sandpaper. And he had five steals last night, and their point guard looked very feeble, truly.
Yeah. And I think he's a decent player, but you just got to put it in context of you're playing against just a shut down defensive guy, right?
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I think Sam has talked about this, is how flexible this team is. I mean, it's really a seven guy rotation, which I kind of like. And, Isaiah Livers comes in, and he's a good defender.
Yeah, yeah.
Two, he might be the best shooter on the team. And actually, maybe their best two shooters are coming in off the bench, because so far this year, the guys who've been certainly their best 3-point shooters, such as that is, have been Eli and Livers. And so I like that idea of bringing shooters off the bench, but you're also bringing guys in off the bench who can actually D up. And Livers has proven he can D up against guys maybe who are even a little bit bigger than he is. And he certainly can play, four type guys pretty easily. So this was a team defensive effort. It was unbelievably impressive. Yesterday when I talked to people, or people called me and said, well, how's Michigan going to do in this? I thought, we'll probably lose. But I felt like some of it depended on who'd officiate the game. We got Big Ten officials who are all good. Oglesby, best official in the conference, I think. Terry Weimer's good. DJ Carstensen, terrific ref. So we got good officials who didn't put their thumb on the scale. And I thought, well, let's see how good Michigan can really be on defense against a good team. We saw what they could do against Norfolk State and what they could do against Holy Cross, who's a hard team to play. But I didn't know, I said, can we really sort of dig down on defense against a team that's a top 25?
But I got to go back to what Sam said, right? Yeah. Like, this was top 5 defensive team last year.
Number three on defensive efficiency.
Yeah, well, five by
five
my numbers.
For you,
but whatever.
But
you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
Like, these guys were amazing last year. Mm-hmm. And then you put John Teske in the starting lineup, right? So you essentially have two guys that could be National Defensive Player of the Year, and Teske and Simpson in this lineup. I mean, you can't see them falling. And then what we've seen on the court this year absolutely confirms that this should be a defensive juggernaut. Like, a juggernaut.
And to me, again, the part that takes it to juggernaut like status is the supreme effort we saw last night. I can't stress enough, if he had hit seven, if Brasdeikis went out and hit seven threes.
Right, right, exactly.
I'd be like, you know what? Great. It's November. It's great. It's a good sign that he has this in him. But you can't count on that. But defense, guys, I mean, you guys watch the game a lot.
Yeah.
Defense it's easier to be consistent playing defense.
Well, I mean, if you know, given some caveats about 3-point field goals going against you,
right,
which we saw 2 years ago in a bad stretch in January. But
so,
yes.
So effort is part of it. And you want that to be a given, but you got to be locked into the plan. And what kind of ability do you have? Every guy that has the desire to play defense, that plays defense with effort, can't go out there and play it like Xavier Simpson. Xavier Simpson is just a gifted athlete.
Yeah, his unique.
Tremendous
unique
quickness.
Talent.
Tremendous quickness, great anticipation. In addition to his understanding on that end of the floor, Ignas Brasdeikis played a Xavier Simpson level of defense last night. It was outstanding. It was against a proven player, a fifth-year senior, an all Big East preseason pick. This is a freshman in the third game of his career on the road, guys. Yep. That was dialed into the scout, charged with defending their top guy, and to boot, he was the second leading scorer. So not only did he play lights out defense, he went out and turned in 18 points on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, in this. Do you have the Lithuanian national anthem?
I got to YouTube that.
Okay. Essentially, he went out and he kicked the ass of one of the best players in the Big East in his third game of playing. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Well, I mean,
it is.
And you know, Beilein sees something in him because he's starting over Livers, and Livers is a great player.
Livers is a terrific player.
Well, I do to your point, Craig. Though I do want to give credit to the plan because it was clear that with Pascal when he was on the perimeter, they were very liberal. And switching ball screens. They did it almost without exception until late in the game. They didn't switch with Teskey on the floor. Early in the game, they did. And as a matter of fact, I was impressed a couple of times with Teskey switching on ball screens. Early in the game, he stayed with Pascal on a switch, was able to bother a shot and forced to miss. Later on, he got beat. And Beilein, that's when he went to Livers. Like, let's put Zay in there, and we'll do a better job with our switching. But there was another time where Teskey switches on one of their guards, you know, and the guard kind of pulls it out after Teskey stays with him. Guard pulls it out, tried to take him off the dribble, gets to the rim. Teskey shuffles his feet, moves with him, and is able to block the shot after the guard thinks he's by him. I mean, this level of defense is not a level of defense that you could have told me was possible a couple of years ago for a Michigan team.
But we got to remember, like, you know, people wanted Beilein's head 2 Januaries ago because, you know, opponents had shot, had a couple good defensive games.
And there was
which was the flip side of this, and then they figured it out since then.
And I guess, you know, the other thing is how much they do. And the understanding. So, you know, we're switching ball screens with Pascal right now. Okay, late in the game. Well, Teskey's in the game. We aren't going to switch. You know what, Iggy? You gotta get over. You gotta get through the screen and stay with them. But and John, you gotta show on this ball screen though, so Iggy can get over and do it flawlessly. But then there were other times where okay, Pascal is in the post. Sometimes we're gonna help. We're gonna help him. Not all the time. You gotta know where your help is to know if it's coming, and understanding there, and understanding who you could help off of. They were dialed in, how connected they were on the defensive end of the floor, and the fact that you could have a freshman be so dialed into that. These are all things that add up to me to validating the belief I had before the season about what this team was going to be defensively and taking it to an even higher level when you add into the equation that Ignas Brasdeikis is a ball player on defense too. Yeah. Knew he would be able to get to the rim on offense, right? He's a skilled rim attacker. He can get to the rim, finish with both hands. I had no idea.
Yeah, I admit I'm fairly surprised by it also. Yeah. But I don't want to minimize John Teskey's role in this team. I felt in the Holy Cross game it was breathtaking to watch his defense. Mm-hmm. To me it was how he the Holy Cross had a pretty good center, pretty big guy, And I think the first two times he shot the ball in the deep post, Teske just swatted it away, and that was it. For the rest of the game, he wasn't even gonna attack the basket or even try. And the Teske's very good at the hard hedge. He's very good at mm-hmm. that off the ball screens. This is a team of really good defensive players. Also,
yeah, and we even saw Jordan Poole close out some shooters.
Jordan,
so I feel like there's more effort from him on this side of the ball as well.
Jordan Poole made, I thought, the play of the game also.
boxing that guy out of that ball that he couldn't touch.
It was brilliant.
But it's the brains to know that you can't touch that ball and to make everything happen. That's high basketball IQ.
Yeah, I mean, that was off the charts basketball IQ, and how he screened the defender off until X came over and picked the ball up. Brilliant play by Poole. Wonderful play. I mean, to me, the play of the game in some ways. And so you can't say enough about what this team did and what they did last night.
Right. Now, well, we got to talk about the other side of the ball too, right? Because Michigan fans come into this game thinking, all right, who's going to make shots?
Well, it's still a fair question.
And we come out of this game being like, how do we manage expectations?
Here's how I manage them. Look, my talking point has been about the Big Ten. Michigan has faults. They have deficiencies. Where is that shooting going to come from? I don't know if the shooting will develop to the point where it can carry them on a long tournament run. I don't know if their free throw shooting will come around to the point where they can be carried on a long run. But even with those faults, I think the defense is good enough to make them the best in the Big Ten. Last night, you talk about offense. Part of how you compensate for some of those deficiencies, particularly when it comes to shooting, is your defense. Transition. Right. Michigan had, for instance, the turnovers they're forcing. In the first half, they had 15 points off turnovers, guys.
Right. Well, and they got some easy shots at the rim, too. Right.
Even in the half-court offense.
So
in the half court, what do? You have more players that can get downhill. So that by themselves, not necessarily with the ball screen. You saw Xavier Simpson do that a number of times. You saw Ignas Brazdeikis do that a number of times. Charles, I still don't know how Charles Matthews ever gets to the rim to his right. If I'm a coach, I'm saying, just jump to his right side. He should never get to the rim to his right, and yet he can still do it. But then the other piece of this, though, is as guys are attacking the rim, you don't have the rest of the team just standing around watching. Great player movement, whether it's when guys are attacking the rim or off post action. So you saw John Teske second play of the game. He's backing his man down. What does Charles Matthews do? Hard basket cut as Teske gets into the paint.
Nice pass by Teske
hits Matthews at the rim. Or the first play of the game. So off ball screen action, player movement. Teske screens Jordan Poole's guy. JP gets to the rim. He's under the rim wide open for a layup. So there are ways that if you aren't an elite and outstanding three-point shooting team, accentuate your positives. So Michigan has multiple guys that can get to the rim. You have a more pronounced post game, whether it's with Teske or also with Charles Matthews, who seems much more comfortable. It looks like he's going to be more adept with this turnaround jumper. That was a factor in last night's game. It looks like it's going to be a staple of his game. He hit two shots that way. He got fouled on another shot that way.
I feel like he was looking at matchups, right? I mean, Galici was on him, and he's like, all right, well, I'm just going to turn around and shoot at 10 feet, mm-hmm. which I'm fine with. But one thing I wanted to say, so Villanova has been in the top 10 of my defensive efficiency the last 5 years. So Jay Wright knows how to coach defense. So it wasn't – I mean, clearly – anything can happen in one game, but they did that against a program that knows how to play defense, and that defense has carried them to where they've been two championships over the last 3 years. So, I think we got some answers about how they're going to put the ball in the hoop. I agree with everything Sam said, and I think it's a matter – it's really a matter of managing expectations now.
There was a question that Charlie from West Michigan, he was trying to ask a question earlier before the roundtable opened up, was why we didn't see Nova come out later on in the game, at least, and play more zone play.
And do they zone
at
all?
They did a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, they're not really a zone team, though.
But I feel like, I feel like this team will be able to handle zones with some ball movement.
We struggled against, was it Holy Cross? I think Holy Cross zoned us, and we struggled with that. I mean, on the plus side, I mean, I noted this, and I don't know if any team, any major team has done this ever in the last 60 or 70 years, but we held Norfolk State to 13 points and a half. We held Holy Cross to 13 points in the second half, and we held Villanova to 17 points in the first half, and I think that's with six free throws maybe. So I think they scored a total of 11 points from the floor.
I mean,
they
missed a couple of easy
shots. Well, I'm not saying they didn't miss shots.
It was a remarkable defensive effort.
I mean, whoever heard of doing that, holding a team less than 20 points in three straight games, I never heard of it.
Right.
I mean, at least.
Well, yeah, and you got to think about the opponent here, right? Like, Villanova is at worst a top 25-ish team, I think.
Yeah, I think they're overrated. I mean, by the way, I mean
that's fine. I mean, you can definitely make that argument after last night, but I can't see that program with Paschall and Booth.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a top 25 team,
probably,
I think, unless something crazy, a Louisville Bobby Petrino type happens. You know, unlikely.
You know, it is, the shooting is bothersome, but. I mean, we were in the, I think in the first two games, we were 13 to 29 from the free throw line. You know, that's eighth grade shooting. But last night, I think, I don't have the box in front of me, I think they were okay from the line, 17 to 21 maybe.
I thought it was worse.
You thought it was worse? No. I think maybe I'm wrong. I know we're at 61% on the year. That's dreadful. We were dreadful last year at 66%. You know, I think we'll get to 66% this year, but I'm not sure if we're going to be much better than that, and that's bothersome. We're shooting 22.5% from three, which is dreadful.
That's going to get better.
And only Syracuse and Kansas State among major teams are worse. I mean, it's problematic. You know, the Big Ten, I think, is better than people thought. I watched, I'm glad Sam bought.
Well, how about this? Let's do that on the other side. Okay. We'll talk about the Big Ten when we come back.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online, WTK.com. Let's wrap up the MGO Blog Roundtable. It's brought to you by Homesure Lending. Homesure Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest.
Quick takes on the Big Ten, guys. Preseason, consensus preseason favorite in league was Michigan State. What I know it's only been a few games, but what do you think? How do you, what do you like so
Michigan
far?
Michigan State's good. I mean, they're certainly going to be up near the top of the conference. But I think certainly the ceiling is higher for Michigan than Michigan State. I mean, when you look at defense, when you look at the entire depth, the entirety of the team, I think Michigan has more upside than Michigan State.
You like Indiana?
I like Indiana because this kid, Romeo Langford, is that his name?
Yep.
He's the deal. Teams will figure out you got to push him left, but he can still really play. Wisconsin is going to be good. Ethan Happ.
Yeah.
Ethan Happ's still there, huh? He's still there. He had like 38 the other night. He can play. And that other kid there is good, Brad Davidson. So I like Wisconsin.
An eighth-year senior.
Real quick, Ed.
I actually don't know much, but I mean, I'm interested to see how Michigan's going to shake out in the numbers with that performance.
I can't believe you didn't mention Nebraska. I'm telling you, watch out for Nebraska. Really? They bring back everyone.
No, I agree with Nebraska.
Yeah, but they weren't good last year.
Well, they weren't bad last year.
Yeah, they suffered from poor non-conference scheduling. And here's the thing. I mean, if Tim Miles can't. If they aren't a factor at the end of the year, then Miles has to go. I mean, there's no reason. They return the most production in the league, and they have maybe the guy who should be preseason favorite for Big Ten Player of the Year, in my opinion, and James Palmer. So we got to get out of here. Top 25 team? I haven't looked at the rate. They should be.
They have point guard problems, though.
So, all right, we got to get out of here.
who's got it better than us?
No!